This is an avocado, and this is a podcast that makes this an avocado podcast.
You are now listening to The Young God, a podcast for the gods.
First of all, guys, let's give a nice round of applause for this gentleman. For putting this together, for bringing together what I believe to be a well-curated group of people who share similar mindsets and who want to do the best possible with their lives and with what they're given. And I think it takes one to know one. He had me on here because I believe he saw in me something that would resonate in this kind of setting, and we're all here. So once again, thanks for having all of us. What we're here today is we're going to do something that has not been done before. And this is gonna be on my platform called The Young God. It's a podcast that is available everywhere podcasts are, and it's where I have guests and I tell stories, have conversations that really dive into what it's like being the best version of yourself across every spectrum and across different topics. We talk about suicide, talk about relationships, talk about money, we talk about sex and consent, everything under the sun. We take it there where no other platform wants to go. I have the cojones, the testicular fortitude. And this gentleman, Obinna, he shows that he has that same nerve. So we're going to talk about a couple of things that we feel is worth talking about in this society that is very afraid to have those difficult conversations. Everyone's so sensitive, and we are, I believe, the least sensitive individuals when it comes to going to those places. And we have you guys here who are a mix of all kinds of people who would bounce these ideas off of us, hold us accountable, and hold him accountable, especially because he's the author of this book, and he said some things that I would like to, poke his brain about. So that said, he's going to go into a little monologue about simphood and what that means to him. I don't even know where this is going, but I'm eager to hear Obinna's thoughts on that. So once again, thank you guys for joining us. The podcast is everywhere on IG. It's at The Young God Pod. You check it out. It's amazing. He's going to be on there someday, this gentleman. And we've had all kinds of people that are worth listening to. So thanks again for coming on. Shall we begin?
Sure. So the first segment, I'll be talking on the war on simphood. These are my thoughts. So it's called The War on Simphood, Internalizing the Renaissance Gentleman's Software. Let me just break it down. I'll be speaking in four segments. I'll be describing what simping is, the core traits of a simp, right? Then I'll be talking on how to combat simphood, that is internalizing the requisite software. Then I'll conclude before we move into the podcast segment. What is simping? I don't know, everybody, we always hear people say, oh, that guy is a simp, or that's a simp behavior. So I don't know, are we ready to delve into this and discuss these things we're not always hearing in our society? So basically, simping is a process or a series of behaviors through which an individual pedestalizes, supplicates, or defers to other people, not through altruistic measures, but to obtain a favor. Take, for example, a man who has 1,500 naira, using that to buy a woman shawarma so that he can sleep with her. On a simple level. It can also refer to you being at home and fighting with somebody online over a celebrity you never meet in your life. So any act that puts you under somebody, where you pedestalize them, that's put them on a pedestal, or supplicate to them by kowtowing to them, or deferring to them on things you wouldn't usually do, you call that simping. So in breaking that down, we understand that there should be a demarcator between a nice guy and a kind man, right? So what we call simps are the proverbial nice guys you see in Hollywood movies, who at the end of the day, we see them under the sun and then the lady kisses him and we are told that he wins, only in the movies. A simp never wins in real life. Part of what my journey is that I told my friends, if I can only unsimp one simp, I have achieved the Renaissance gentleman's career that I am pursuing right now. So basically, any series of acts, behavior, traits, action that makes you constantly pedestalize, supplicate, and defer to other people is referred to as simphood. Right, so what are the core traits of a simp? I identified five core traits of a simp. The first one is pedestalization. Jessica is pretty, I understand. But Jessica does not want you to worship her. I don't know if that makes any sense. You, if you have been taught wrong, if you only listen to pop songs, if you only watch Hollywood movies, you've been told to worship her, that's how you win her over. They are all tired. Beautiful women are tired of the bullshit we men are giving them. They don't want you to worship them. They don't want you to put them on a pedestal. Once you put her on a pedestal, you become like any regular fan who is worshiping a star. Most especially, women who are in their feminine element do not want you to worship them. Regard them, yes. Respect them, yes. Pedestalize them, they don't want that. The second one is supplication. Kowtowing at every turn. Remember that this software trace we're talking about applies across board. If you supplicate to a woman, there's every tendency you're going to supplicate to a man. If you don't have core game skills, you're going to be worshiping everybody. Supplication, that's kowtowing. Oh, let's go this way. Ah, yes, babe, let's go that way. Let's do this. Oh, yes, babe, let's do that. You're being blown hither and thither by your mind. You have no core grounded. Supplication. The third one is deference. Supplication and deference, they have a commonality, but this is it. Deference is where, basically, every time you are around, everything anybody says, you agree with. Ah, bro, may we go this thing now? You don't get money for next week, ciao. You say, ah, bro, let's run this shit. You don't know what we're cooking. Cooking what, bro? Cooking what? So deference is basically agreeing to something that puts you in an uncomfortable position. Right. The next one is not holding frame. What is frame? Frame is your conceptualization of the world, your view of reality. It is the culmination of all the mental models that form the person that you are. For example, you meet some people, they seem tough on the exterior, but once a girl doesn't return their call, they flip. Their frame is very weak. They have a tough exterior, very shallow interior. So you have to hold frame. And the thing is, you can't build frame if you don't put yourself in uncomfortable positions. Move away from your comfort zone, approach very beautiful women, try to secure very tough government contracts, try to do stuff that puts you in very uncomfortable positions. The fifth one is not being on purpose. When you don't have any purpose, you go with the highest bidder. Anything anybody says, you move with it. Because you're not centered. You don't even know what you've been called to do here. The good thing about this audience is that most people, I know them personally. Most people here are already on their purpose, pursuing different ventures. I mean, IK is running Zodara. Peter is doing an amazing job with the embassy. Aziz is doing fantastically. Sensei is controlling, large swaths of empire, and that's very alluring. And so many other people here. But if you're not on your purpose, right, what happens is, anything anybody says, you just go with it. Bro, me will go smoke shisha. Ah, shit, man, we killed that shit last night. Bro, what are you killing? You don't smoke shisha. You don't even want it. You're not killing nothing. You are doing what you don't want to do because there's peer pressure. But the reason is because you're not on purpose. Right. So the next segment is combating simphood. The reasons gentleman's software that needs to be internalized. So the first thing in combating simphood is that you must curate a solid frame. Like I mentioned, your frame is your conceptualization of this reality that we are all living right now. If you believe you can't attract a beautiful woman, you will never do that. If you believe you never make money, you will never do that. If you believe that there are certain limitations, but you see other people doing it, you will never cross that threshold. So a few days ago, my friend Jibril Matankari said, anything you can think, there's somebody, whether in the hinterland or in the city center, who is doing it. So I think we're talking about making, I think it was either banners or something like that. And then he said, oh no, don't worry about that. If you think about it, there's somebody doing it. And it wasn't long after that we deciphered that there were people who were doing what we needed to, what we required. And that's how it is. If you're thinking about a concept car, there's somebody driving it somewhere. If you're thinking about a girl with, what is the size for boobs and the bras that they wear, right? If you want a girl of a certain bra disposition, I mean, you have them. Ass, everything is there. But you must think it and you must believe it. So if you don't have a strong conceptualization, what you call frame of this reality, you are going to be a simp. There's no way out of it. The second one is find and get on your purpose. The reality is because of the way the English language is positioned and the way it's taught out here, purpose seems so big and gigantic. So what I did here was to have in this poster, my purpose is very simple. Immediately I got on my purpose, every other thing aligned. Mine is to live an enduring legacy of openness, happiness, and love. Using my body, my mind, and my body, voice, and mental acuity as the tools. It's very simple. And I don't need to lift a finger a day again to live a very fulfilling life. Because once I'm meeting this, I'm in my center. And you can't pull me anywhere. So you have to find and get on your purpose. Purpose is like the strongest driver for whoever you choose to be, because once you're on it, I think so many people here are pursuing very different projects. They're called goals. Now, the thing about goals is they are much more short-term and much more limited. Purpose is much more elongated. So all your goals are subsumed under your purpose. So if you are able to, say, in your 20s, early 30s, discern what your purpose is, you're actually on your way to cruise through life, because any goal you want will just subsume under your current purpose. So you have to find and get on your purpose. The third is stop seeking validation and return to your center. We all are victims of the social media age. We want to put out everything we're doing for everybody to see, to applaud us. Baba Ide Chilo, soft work. But the thing is, after that click, what happens? You get a dopamine spurt. Then what happens? You droop again. Then you get depressed because nobody's watching the picture. After they watch it and then it's all over. I mean, I've been on the tour. I've been getting massive social media reviews and views. What next? Those things seem okay on the short term. Baba, you don't turn celebrity. Oh, Baba, I see for TV. What next? It's not going to increase money in my bank account. Might get me exposure. But if I was doing all of this for a few girls to say, bro, you're nice, let me sleep with you. Or, oh, this guy, soft boy, you know, I'm on TV, people are liking the way I look and the way I talk. Then I'm not going to get anywhere because I'm doing it for validation. You must surpass the need for validation and return to the center. The center is that immanent and transcendent energy that is everywhere at the same time. If you start going back to your center, how do you get to the center? The quickest way is through your breath, your psyche. The deepening of the breath is something people are not aware of because of the automaticity of our breathing pattern. We have over 20,000 breaths in a day. Right, how do you use yours? I mean, if you were breathing appropriately, you shouldn't exceed 12 breaths per minute. That's if we're applying what you call 4 second in, 4 second hold, 4 second out. That should be 12 seconds, 5 breaths per minute. Well, so many people here, that's a whole lot. What happens when you return to your breath is that you start getting what you call mental clarity. Ideas that come to you are executed at a much faster pace. Your subconscious is at much rest because it's always put here and there. There's what they call in Hinduism, vrittis. Vrittis is the pulling of the mind, what you call mind stuff. So you have chitta, you have vrittis. If your mind is still at the base level of existence, what you call primal level of existence, your base animal instincts, then your mind is always thinking about, oh, I like that girl more, man. I could like the day with that babe, or more that babe, bro. Bro, yeah, some boys are laughing here. They know what I'm talking about. So you need to get back to your center. And what that does for you is that you stop seeking validation. Validation can be good if it comes from your loved ones, if it comes from an accomplishment. But you haven't accomplished anything. Why are you putting out pictures for people to like? What would that do for your overall sense of being? Right. The next is, don't try too hard. I've known Jessica for a bit. I'll keep using you. I'll keep using every other person here. Right? I mean, I met Jenna today. She looks pretty. I mean, she's stunning in that white dress. But the thing is this, yeah? If I ask Jenna, would you like to go on a date with me? And she says, no, Bina, I have somebody I'm with. That's fine. My mindset should be that there are so many Jennas out there. And there are, actually. Abundance. Why am I going to start pestering one? I mean, not that Jenna, I mean. But the physical attributes that I might see in Jenna. Lovely boobs, lovely ass. It's always out there. What you call the body is just an accretion of the food that you've had over the course of time. If Jenna is eating a certain type of meal, the other girls who are eating it, they also have grown boobs in the same way. That's right. Is it not so?
You're right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Go on. So we can start agreeing that sometimes when we chase a girl because of her facial features or her rare features or her other features, you are doing yourself a disservice because you're hurting that woman. And we're saying that women should actually be given a bit of a break. We need to get back, I'm talking to the men now, in our masculine element. Being masculine doesn't mean being aggressive completely. You can be in your masculine element and still be gentle and still be kind. But we do know for a fact that these guys are crying for help. Some are misplaced. We know that for a fact as well. And in as much as we might not agree with them, we should have the capacity to expand our own thinking, to give everybody room for their perspectives to be considered. So don't try too hard. You like that girl, I understand that. If she doesn't like you back, move on, bro. Get back on your purpose. Get doing something that stimulates you to become your best. The final is set boundaries. You have 1-5, and she says she wants shawarma, tell her no. No, the truth is, we are all victims. Men have suffered. You can't say no, because the music video is telling you that you should give her your last. Hollywood movies are telling you to give her your last, but it's not fair to yourself. You have the I and the me. The me is the ego self who is trying to impress that girl. But your subconscious mind is like, look at my weak master who is leading me. If he can't say no to this girl, how can he say no when a government contract is about to cheat him? How can he say no when his projects are not going right? Gentlemen, we need to get back to our centers. There's a reason there's a quickening of energy globally now. And it's very obvious. Crisis everywhere. Before, maybe you need to wait for a week to double down on crisis. Now every day is one crisis or the other. Your attention span is being traded by energy vampires all over the world. If you do not set boundaries, very few years from now, you'll be serving other people. And that's not the way that I would want you all here to see this existence. The truth is, so many things we were taught growing up cannot hold sway anymore. Take, for example, the physics most of us learned here, what you call the classical or the Newtonian physics. It's been disproved here and there. We know that in space, there is nothing just holding it up like that. No, it doesn't work that way. We also know that Newton told us about cause and effect. But we know that quantum mechanics, as propounded by Max Planck, is saying that we are the ones causing the effect. Nothing you see is solid, liquid, or otherwise is upon your perception of that stimuli that it becomes that. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. We also know about Schrodinger's cat. It is upon when you see one particular perspective that it has happened, a tree falls in the forest, you're not there. Did it make a sound? I'm asking. A tree falls in the forest, you were not there. Did it make a sound?
Yes.
Yeah.
You were not there.
I wasn't there.
Exactly. So stimuli you perceive with your five senses is the only stimuli that is real.
Yeah.
I know that Eferreka is here, I can see her, I can perceive her. If I turn my back, how can I know she's here? So the physics we learned says that the camera or the cameras in this room are hard. But the new physics is saying that they're not hard, but that the particles that make them are vibrating at a very dense frequency. does that change your perspective? J-Babs, you're a senior in these concepts. Am I misleading anybody here? You don't even know how I learned physics. I'm a lawyer. It's confusing to me too. Gentlemen, we need to set boundaries. And part of setting boundaries is to start saying to yourself now that so many things you were taught can't hold up. And to also start being deliberate about how you allow things like Hollywood and the love songs to permeate your being. The idea propounded in the songs that we listen to is actually perpetuating what we call simphood. A guy has one shirt, the lady's cold, he gives her his shirt. Why? Why is it that the masculine body does not allow cold to permeate it? In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, my purpose, I've stated, my underlying purpose is to unsimp one simp. This means that my work as a teacher is to keep reminding people that there's what we call positive masculinity. Sarah rightly said yesterday on the radio that we keep teaching women empowerment. That's beautiful. But who's teaching the men? I've taken that mantle upon myself. Because of the way that I grew up, I'm a shameless person. So you can't shame me, right? I'm a man of resources, so I don't think you'll counsel me and throw away all my resources, because where they come from, you don't even know. So that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I hereby put myself as a beacon of light and hope to help men to get back into their center, to help men to rediscover the spark that they had before that made them warrior kings. And now we are ready to move into the next dimension of what we can become. I look around me and then I see very enthusiastic young men and very beautiful women, and hope is not lost. That we do see from time to time very masculinized women doesn't mean that hope is lost. All software can still be transformed. And in as much as it appears from what we do that we only cater to gentlemen, we cater to both women as well. Thank you all.
How enlightening was that? You know, one thing about Obinna that I realized, not just in his writing, but in his speaking, my guy is very good with words. In that, not just in the flow of it all, but in the words he chooses. You need a thesaurus right there to just be following this guy bumper to bumper. Am I right? If you read the book, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and it's great because that's how you learn, you know. He has been able to weave in social dynamics with physics, with biology and whatnot, and it's always a joy to see such things. And that's what it means to be like a true Renaissance man. And we're gonna get into that in a second. But first of all,
you made it. This was a treat from beginning to end, wasn't it? What did you take from it? What stood out to you? How do you feel now that it's all said and done? These questions matter when you consume this kind of content. Don't just move on to something else like it's beans. These are pearls, you. Reflect and internalize. That's how you get wise. That said, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, best believe that there is more where that came from. There are over 100 episodes that cover a variety of topics and guests. There's something for everyone. Every episode, every conversation, every story is dripping with insights that will delight you, make you think, and put you onto new things. Things you don't hear every day. Things people don't usually say. We take it there, week in, week out. Do follow the podcast on IG at The Young God Pod and Twitter at I Am The Young God for more God-level content. New episodes drop every Saturday at midnight, so do subscribe and do share. I'm your host, Rodney, and I wish you a blessed day and a blessed mind. Rodney, out.